Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 222. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back one more week. I just got done with San Diego Comic Con 2018. It was great to be back home. It was great to be out there. But again, more than anything, it's great to be back fucking home. I'm going to hit it real quick because I don't know if it's going to be a short show or a long show. So I'm just going to wing it today. So I'm going to start off by talking about what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. 100 episodes ago, episode 122, we entitled hashtag Best of the Best 2015. We recorded this one in December 28th, 2015. This makes perfect sense because doing the math, I took 5 months off when we stopped recording. And it took me a long time, 5 months, to get my shit together and to get balls enough to start recording again. So 5 months would be December time. So this is what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Fuck me, 3 years ago, just about. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain, roll Christmas stores and hit the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League update and NFL Talk Week 17 predictions with a special phone call from our boy at L_Sadie. Sadie's dope. I've mentioned him on the show before. He wants to get back on the show. He wants to be a regular. I need help. So to have him on, he's fucking hilarious anyways. And just a down-to-earth dude. So that would be fucking dope. We had a quick session of our regular topics. What the fuck news? You can exchange driving lessons for sex in Holland. We hit idiot of the week. Man dies while trying to blow up condom machine. I know, right? Man pulls gun on clerk over faulty penis pump. Wow. With Jesus shit list is back. Woman bashes roommate with hammer when she backs out of suicide pact. Yes, these are legit articles I would pull up. Hence Jesus shit list. With sex facts, the six sex resolutions you need to make for 2016. We hit hashtag 2015 best moments for great and hit four great Comic Syndicate giveaways and contests. Okay. We hit play along and choose your poison. Interesting now. So we had a giveaway that one. We hit comic reviews, Deadpool number 4, Robin son of Batman number 7, Robin War part 2. We hit Venom Space Knight number 2. We hit Daredevil number 2. We hit Extraordinary X-Men number 4. The Comic Syndicate title fight 2015. Hashtag best of the best. Hashtag end of the year podcast awards. We hit most consistent book of the year, best new comic of the year. We hit hashtag event of the year, arc of the year. We hit shitty book of the year, which those ones are normally funnier than what it sounds. Most underrated book of the year, which we fight for. We hit hashtag cover of the year, duo artist of the year, and book of the year, just like a single read that just stood out to you. This has been always an underlying theme for me. Like, I always make a list, and you guys don't know the list, and having to jot down like reviews and then give single synopsis of these at the end of the year fucking sucks. So it's just going to be my opinion piece at the end of the year, unless somebody that knows something can help me out. Again, it's going to be me solo on that one. We hit many thanks for another year, guys. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Click link in bio, and we hit a crazy signed comics giveaway. So there you go, end of the year. All right, guys, so like I did mention, I was in San Diego Comic Con. It was a blast. It was busy. It was crazy. It was nuts. It was intense. I know there was live footage all over the place. You guys couldn't avoid it on the news, but it was fucking dope. It's a different type of beast, and I still encourage everyone, if you've never been out there, you have to try it one time at least. There's something for everyone, and it's just so fucking cool. Now, if you want to get into Hall H, this was the year to do it. Hall H didn't have a lot of good announcements. Personally, I didn't do anything Hall H. I got in town Wednesday, where I recorded last week from the hotel room. That's pretty much my day one. It was actually Thursday. I got a bunch of interviews, which was dope. I'll just let you guys know straight up, I don't have any bullet points today. The experience about working and interviewing a round table is the first thing I'm going to hit, I guess. And this is kind of bullet point-ish. Now, the last convention I went to when we had a roundtable interview was at WonderCon, which is across the street from me. That's the first con I've done solo without any backup recording audio, like any help picture-wise with, from, you know. So we got offered voice actors from, I forget what movie it was at the time, but it was a big animated movie, and I got, oh, the Suicide Squad. And I pushed out. Like, I'm like, okay, we're in a room. Like, the pictures are going to take. This is way behind the curtains that a lot of people don't know. So this is probably the best way for me to attack this show, is just to tell you guys my experience. I've met a lot of cool fucking people. And this is the most I've networked at a convention, I think, ever. As far as people, media, in the media aspect, in the press aspect of it. So that was really cool. As far as going back to WonderCon to do it, to have roundtables and be like, oh, I don't have the vote of confidence. Like, Gary puts it together. He's in charge of DC PR relations guy. And he's a dope fucking guy and very cool. So last time, last convention, he's like, dude, just jump on and get comfortable. Start firing your questions. And I got intimidated. I got intimidated straight up. A bunch of tables, and I didn't know how to sit down and, like, post up and, like, get set up for an interview like this. I've done press junkets before where it's literally a panel in a green room type stage, I guess, behind the scenes. And we get to ask the cast members different – whatever the fuck we want, really. And this one was more roundtable-based, and different media outlets are on – each round table, and I just, again, insecure on how to do it, especially I'm fucking there by myself. So if it's like, dude, what the fuck am I supposed to do, was a weird experience. Like, I'm the only one there taking pictures on my phone, and it's like, oh, this is not professional at all. This was last time. This is all gonna go into some stupid story. So that was last time. RG is the only person that I've really told this story to, and he was cracking the fuck up over it because it is fucking funny. And by this point, Victoria from work knows, like, this happened to me. But to be like, I didn't have the balls, and like, Josiah has the confidence to do anything, but it was a different light for me to be in, and I bailed at that last convention. So this convention now, San Diego, same type of deal. We have the cast from The Death of Superman. So I got a bunch of great interviews, and I'm like, well, fuck me, fool me once, you're not going to fool me a second time. Like, I post up, and right away I meet, you know, sit down at a round table, and everyone's posted up by the time I get there. And get all the voice actors of, just about, of The Death of Superman. So I got the editor, fuck me, who do I get? Okay, I got Jason O'Mara, he's the voice of Batman. I got Christopher Gorham, he's the voice of The Flash. I got the producer, director Sam Liu. I hit the executive producer, James Tucker. And I got Jerry O'Connell, and who plays Superman in this, and Rebecca Romijn, who's his wife, who plays Lois Lane in this movie. So to sit and chat with these guys was fucking cool. And it's like, this time, I'm like, okay, this I can fucking do now. Like, let's attack this. Still weird, because there were probably six round tables with media outlets completely packed at each table. And I had gone to a certain table and had like three, maybe four people besides myself, three other people, and met these cats in stripes, start talking to them. Like, hey, good morning, how you guys doing today? And one of them answers back, is like, good. And then the girl asks back, how are you doing today? I'm like, well, fuck me, besides thinking today is a Saturday, I was excited, but now to know it's like a Thursday and like this is going to be a long fucking weekend, that's pretty much what it was. And that was the icebreaker, like, okay. And then talking to them and talking to more media people and telling the story, each other's stories back and forth was an interesting trip, completely behind the fucking scenes that I need to share with you guys. I can go off on the story still, but it was just really funny because the conversation led to one rabbit hole for us, and I end up asking, because we were kind of comfortable and we're having a conversation anyways, waiting for everyone, and it's like, Is it me? Is it just me, or do you guys ever feel like we're on everyone else's time schedule? Because when they send us these press releases, we try to set up screeners, interviews for everyone that meet our schedules so we can schedule it the best we can to get content for each of our media outlets. And they're like, yeah. And then when they cancel, and then somebody else, I guess, another interview for whatever movie show that they want to plug, whatever show it might be, when they hit you up like constantly, and even last minute, like, we're still over here too if you want to check us out. It's a weird, like, to get that conversation with someone where it's like, okay, it's not just me. And then I don't want to bail on somebody that I ever schedule an appointment with. Like, I have to be as professional as I can. Like, I'm representing the Comic Syndicate, and we can do these cool fucking things for a fucking reason. So that's where I'm coming from as far as, like, okay, I don't want to be on anyone's time schedule. That's just me in a nutshell anyways. Like, I always have my watch on. Once I take off my watch, it's like, okay, I don't need to pay attention to time anymore. Like, that's a weird thing about me. But again, so to have this conversation, like, with media people, it's like, okay, cool. I don't feel like a weirdo for being this, I don't want to say dissective of it, but these people that are trying to plug their product or whatever show, whatever it might be, movie, they can really fuck up your fucking day too. And at the same time, that's not saying anything bad. Like, I love the fuck out of it. And sometimes the last-minute interviews that you wouldn't have taken prior can become a good interview that you were not expecting. And that's the fucking cool fucking kicker about it. Like, the pictures I took, you guys can find me at comic_syndicate again. But, like, the pictures I took a grip load of pictures, and I try to keep everyone posted throughout the day. And I took a lot of dope shit pictures and behind the scenes. And also, it was a lot of fucking work. And it's so stupid because at these roundtables, like, so going back to these roundtables, talking to these cool three people, random people that I've never seen or met before, talking to them, and then Gary coming out, again, PR guy, and him to be like, okay, I need you guys to jump in on the rest of the tables. I know it's packed, but try to make it work out because we can't have any extra tables. So he goes, go either to the first table and up front or go to the last table at the end. By this point, there's like six round tables. So I go to one at the end. And there happens to be like three guys there. Two of them are cosplayers. One of them's shit-faced already. I don't know what media outlet they are from. When I go in, I'm professional as fuck, dude. Just be cool, cordial with fucking everyone. And one of these dudes, it's two dudes, and one of them is just shit-faced, and he's there with a Jack and Coke, I'm assuming. And I just don't care for the dude. So if you guys have heard the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast, like, the dude where it's like, oh, you're fucking that fool. It's like, if we weren't here, dude, we can go fucking any other time. But, like, right now, it's like, you're being a dick, you're being unprofessional, and I can smoke you any fucking day. I just can't bang your ass up right now. So it was like, I chose the wrong fucking table. Homeboy comes out, PR guy. He's like, are you guys okay? Talking to the cosplayer guys. Yeah, we're from XX Outlet. And he's like, yeah. And it's like, oh, you guys aren't. This is a professional fucking thing. You guys can't. And he didn't chew them out. It's just like, these guys are fucking idiots for representing their essentially company is what it is. And I haven't even told RG the story yet. So RG, let me know what you think. But like, they're representing your company. And it's like, I'm the Comic Syndicate. And that I couldn't do. And I didn't want to fight this fucking dude. I wanted to fucking beat the shit out of him, but I wasn't going to do it. So just a weird aspect of it. So now having to deal with these assholes, like, fucked up. I had a fucking round table, like, I was set up already to record, because you guys got 86, now I have to find a fucking packed table, and I have to set up and be a dick to everyone that's already set up, and pull the whole excuse me thing, just to put up my setup, and it was weird. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, this is the way they want it done. These actors, actresses, voice actors have very limited time. So, you know what? Yeah, let's accommodate you guys. So I set up and I put my fucking recorder in the middle of the table for the most part. And I'm standing up. Like, the round table's taken, and it's just like always, each table had two extra seats because Jerry O'Connell and his wife, Rebecca Romijn, were going to get seated and get interviewed together at the same time, which was cool. And I'm the idiot that's taking pictures of everyone we are interviewing. And it's a round table, so many media outlets just shooting off fire questions about, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? Like, tell us about this. Tell us about that. That's exactly what it is. I have those interviews, guys. I'm going to go more into that in depth a little bit as well. So I'm the idiot. Everyone has professional cameras. Everyone has someone that's recording, whether it be full mic or recorders, which it's a round table. So a lot of people did have digital recorders as well, just like I did. And I'm the only one, like, taking pictures off of my phone, like, click, click, click. Not sad, because the pictures came out dope. Like, we got these actors and actresses talking about, you know, the project, and jazzed and enthused about the project. So that's what I brought to you guys, and those are all the pictures. Again, check them out. So by this point, we've interviewed so many people, and I don't have time to check the sound quality. But I did notice that each person we did talk to had different, not inflections, but were more monotone than others. Some people were very, very soft-spoken, and that's just them. And Pete, they were getting fired questions galore, but they weren't as, I don't know. From where my mic was, it's like, I'm pretty sure everyone was thinking to themselves, like, oh my gosh, this is bad audio because you can't hear a fucking damn thing. And I'm pretty sure that happened to a lot of those. So I need to go through my audio, and I need to, that's going to be more homework for me. That is strictly more work for me. I have to pull the best audio pieces, and it's like, okay, which one is going to work so I don't bore you guys, and I don't want the sound qualities to blur in one interview to the next interview to the next interview. So that's finding the sound levels for you guys is what I need to do. It sounds like a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And, that's one story. Rebecca Romijn and Jerry O'Connell were fucking dope. Everyone was fucking dope. Honestly, this whole cast was fucking dope. Those interviews were good, were great, but it's just, I need to figure out who had the best sound quality. And I know which ones did and which ones didn't. Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca Romijn should not get axed, but a few of them might have to. And those were probably like about eight interviews right there in that shot. One of the best interviews I got was Rick Remender. I'm a huge Deadly Class fan. My buddy Adam got me into fucking Rick Remender. He was writing New Avengers. He was writing a bunch of Avengers. And he started writing Black Science. He started writing Deadly Class, which I love the fuck out of. And the interview we got with him was so fucking perfect. From the way I was feeling, like, Josiah does not have Josiah, you don't have the energy. Telling myself this, you don't have the energy to fucking do this. You're burnt the fuck out. You're going to walk into a fucking beast right now, and you fucking know it. The weird thing is, last week's reviews, and I have a weird way of doing this. My reviews normally reflect my life. So last week's review, that's when I'm like, pay attention. Like, please listen. I was essentially Vader waiting for, fuck it, somebody finally end it for me. Can I prove to myself that I can still fucking do this? Can I do it by myself? Taking pictures, getting audio, figuring out everything fucking sucks. But that was my test for myself, is can I fucking do it? And you know what? I fucking did it. So guess what? That's one for me. Again, back to Rick Remender, like, best interview I've gotten in a long fucking time. And it was just so beautiful, so dope. And he says so many great things about, like, breaking down my weekend. And you guys are going to love that. And I'm going to precursor it. I'm going to toss on hashtag Death of Superman interviews. And that's going to be episode probably 222.1. Episode 222.2 was probably going to be Rick Remender hashtag Deadly Class type of deal. And I might scatter them out depending on how much work I have to do at the second job this weekend. So that is my life. I did meet a lot of fucking cool people all over the place. I met some cool people at the Starbucks line. I want to say his name is Tim. I forget his wife's name. Homeboy's originally from Pittsburgh, so that he starts busting my balls about Le'Veon Bell leaving. It was fucking dope. And again, like I said, I just networked galore more than I have before. Normally, I would give my cards to hot chicks. It sounds terrible. And Adam would be like, give it more to people. And then I turned that off to be like, okay, just people at, you know, we visit. So small press booths, like people we interview. Just give my card specifically to anyone we interview. DC people we interview, like Marvel people we interview, just always give my card out to them. And this one was more networking based as far as media. The people went in the same thing I'm doing. This is fucking media. And it's fucking cool. Like a huge shout out to fucking to Matthew from Comics After Dark. Cool fucking cat. Met him a few years ago. He was my doppelganger. We were each other's doppelganger at WonderCon when that was in LA. And everyone at the PR booth was like, are you Josias or are you Matthew? Everyone kept mixing us up. So every time one of us would go to get a badge or a check-in, they'd be like, are you? Which one are you? And then we're like, I keep hearing the same story. And he kept hearing the same story too. So that now every time I see him at a convention, it's cool because now we're comfortable and we can shoot the shit. Homeboy was inviting me to fucking parties. And I did have parties set up, lined up, and just walking into this beast. Working two jobs, juggling so much, setting up these interviews, was a grind and an ass kicker, and that's not a complaint, that's not an excuse, but those are the things I went through this weekend. So yeah, as far as interviews, that's what I have for that aspect. So this is going to be very Comic-Con based and centric. So many stories I want to tell you, this is going to be a long fucking show, fuck my life. Next one is going to be, I fucking totally fucking sold out, guys. So, I'm going to tell you guys about a video I took. I'm walking the fucking floor. And whenever you have, you know, time to kill, it's never a bad time suck to walk the floor at any fucking moment. So at this time, I don't know, I was waiting for an interview or had an hour or two to kill. So I jump on the floor and I'm walking the floor and all of a sudden I come down this aisle and it's like, everyone step back, everyone step back, everyone step back. And I'm like, okay. They got these fucking high security guys up here, all black suits, all fucking shades up in this bitch. I'm like, okay, let me get out my camera. Let me record this. 20 people fucking come out. Like literally 20 fucking nobodies. Kids, friends, families, nobodies. Nobodies, really. I mean, they're people. But the first person that comes out, I'm like, holy fuck, that's Amber Heard. Beautiful girl, beautiful woman comes out, you know, and I'm recording this on, you can find me on Twitter at For The Villain or at Comic Syndicate 1. On Twitter, you guys can find the videos either or even on Facebook. Go to Josias Arabalo. I'm open to everyone, not in that way. I'm not private. That also sounds bad. But find me. Like, I uploaded those videos everywhere. So the person right after Amber Heard was Nicole Kidman, which I was not expecting. A lot taller than I was expecting, too, because I just got a side boob ad version of Nicole Kidman and her face. I'm like, oh, fuck, Nicole Kidman's here, too. And then by that point, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is the cast of Aquaman. Let me go into Aquaman real quick. A few weeks back, one of my friends and I saw, we tossed on Justice League. And I'm like, I don't want to watch it, but I kind of have to get it out of the way just so I can gauge it for myself. You know, watch it through my own eyes. Batman, still not the worst thing in the movie. Wonder Woman, still great in the movie. Cyborg wasn't the worst thing about the movie. Flash wasn't the worst thing about the movie. Aquaman, I hated the fuck out of. It's not my Arthur Curry at all. That's just it. And everyone that has told me, I love Arthur and he's great. And he, Momoa brings it as Arthur. It's like, no, that's not Arthur at all. Like, you guys, and you're comics, you know, comics guy, and you love the fuck out of this character. I'm like, it's terrible. I just despise this dude. I haven't seen him in anything else minus a cheesy fucking werewolf movie. That is extremely bad. It was so bad. I was having a few beers and it was so bad. It was like watching a train fucking wreck. I could not stop watching it. Watch that one, guys. Google the fuck out of that. IMDb that one. So again, leading somewhere to this story, hate the fuck out of this dude. Don't get me wrong. Great looking guy. Every woman loves him. Yes, he's a fucking stud. So this is my feelings. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's the cast of Aquaman as Nicole Kidman walks by. A few more people come out, and Momoa comes out, Jason Momoa, Aquaman himself, Tim, Arthur Curry, and he's like just jazzed and pumped. And I'm like, this fucking fool. And as he gets closer to me, I'm like, what's up, dog? I got you, dude. And fucking high five. It's cheesy, bad, sellout fucking move. Who's the man? You're the fucking man. Like, that's how stupid it was. Like, not that bad. I want to sound myself, make myself sound worse because it was, hey, you, high five, smack. And it was just stupid bad. Like, remember that one thing you did? I love doing that. Like, it was so, and I'm recording this. You guys can hear the fucking hand slap. It's terrible. So yeah, Jason Momoa, stud, tall dude, buff. I understand. I get why women love him. Not a good actor, dude. Terrible actor. He was written terrible. And yet I'm like, who's the man? You the man. So that might be the name of the fucking show for this week. All right, guys. I'm going to take a fucking break. What do I have? Okay, Rick Remender, I already hit. I'm going to hit just deep dives and rabbit holes. Is not on hiatus. We're still pumping out episodes. We're still going to run through a bunch of shows, a bunch of throwaways, and we're having fun with these throwaways. They're not all good, hence why they are throwaways, but it's a side project on top of the Comic Syndicate that I'm loving doing, and it's keeping me creative, and I'm loving the fuck out of it. So after the death of Superman, hashtag those ones, 2.22.1, 22.2, Rick Remender interviews, still keep in touch with the deep dives and rabbit holes. RG is fucking dope, so thanks a lot, man. All right, guys, give me a few, and I will be right back with Comic Talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, what's up? Thank you. I'm back with some comic talk. I knew this was going to go long. I'm going to hit it, run it, gun it as best I can. I'm not a big TV show watcher. Disney delays Indiana Jones 5 release to 2021. First of all, that's old news. How do you guys feel about it? Neil Blomkamp to direct new RoboCop movie. So District 9, I love the fuck that movie. His Neil Blomkamp movie has been up-tapped to direct a new RoboCop film for MGM Studios titled RoboCop Returns. So it's not a spinoff, it's a direct sequel of, I believe, Part 1 or Part 2. Warner Brothers news. Warner Brothers developing Wizard of Oz retelling from Toto's perspective. How do you guys feel about that? The writer of Madagascar, so those movies, type of deal, and I believe it's going to be like animated. So again, how do you guys feel about that? A petition for, wow, this happened at the Comic-Con. This was a big talk. It was James Gunn, writer-director of Guardians of the Galaxy Part 1 and Part 2, got fired from Marvel, from Disney Studios, because of some disparaging things he said a few years ago. And how do you guys feel about this one? Like, the jokes weren't, you get what he was going for, but like, even talking about those ones out loud is nuts. Now, there's a petition out now to get him back on, signed on. They need that voice. I doubt they're going to fucking rehire him though. At the con, Mark Hamill dresses a stormtrooper and an orange Vader for Comic-Con. I totally saw so many fucking cosplayers. Again, go to @comic_syndicate on Instagram. You guys can see everything that I've saw, and that's still not everything I saw. There's still so many I got to go. Deadpool 2 director in talks for Enter the Dragon remake. In the world of remakes right now, I love the fuck out of Enter the Dragon. Give me some Bruce Lee, but it's one of those things. Do I really want to see remade anything of Bruce Lee? Okay, we're going to have Marvel's Black Widow movie finally finds its director. Announced by The Hollywood Reporter, Kate Shortland has taken over directorial duties. Shortland is the director of the 2012 Nazi drama, Lorna. Anyways, sorry. This one's going to be DC news, dude. A Joker origin film starring Joaquin Phoenix moves forward at Warner Brothers. So it's Joaquin Phoenix has finalized, finally, his deal to star in the Warner Brothers movie. And there's a few more other interesting facts to this one, dude. Robert De Niro in talks for Joker origin movie. Acclaimed actor Robert De Niro is reportedly in negotiations to join Joaquin Phoenix in Todd Phillips' Joker origin movie. Okay, so many. I love DC. I fucking hate DC. Speaking of DC still, dude, Batwoman TV series in the works at the CW. You know what? Yeah, their shows are dope anyways. Might as well. All right, we also have, here we go, dude. Jeff Johns will reinvent Green Lantern movie mythos for upcoming DC film. So the movies now, from TV shows to movies. I keep jumping back and forth, but it's DC Extended Universe. They want a proper Green Lantern movie. Jeff Johns, for a lot of people don't know, is a legit stud of a writer. And he's had so many runs on everything that he stepped away from his comics duties so he can help out with the movie side aspect of it, because they need a lot of fucking help. And he's confident in this. And I'm confident in Jeff Johns. Like, he's a great fucking writer. So I'm hoping he can fucking run with the ball, dude. With Gotham's David Mazouz teases Joker fight, Batman suit for final season. So it's going to end in season 5, which is coming up shortly, I believe they're working on. We have Deathstroke news, Deathstroke film still in the works. I saw Justice League. I did not see the end cut snip, so I forgot about the Deathstroke. Was he even in that? I don't even fucking know. I didn't. Aquaman sucked balls. But who is the man? You're the fucking man. DC Universe streaming service reveals price and feature details. Okay, we had to sign up for this at the San Diego Comic Con, and I didn't. I went over, and they had like press media times to go and check it out, you know, and like front of the line kind of deal. And I had a bunch of interviews ready to go, so it's like, oh, I can't do it at this time. Can you guys do another time? It's like, no, just come on in. We'll see what we can do to accommodate you. And I did go by twice, walked by there, and I'm like, oh, this line's fucking terrible. I should have been that guy where it's like, you know, I got time to kill. I'm Josiah from the Comic Syndicate. Who the fuck are you? So I didn't even want to fucking pull that card. I don't like pulling that card anyways. I don't think I'm anything special or anything fucking great. It's just, you know, something that I never want to pull that fucking card. This one is going to be $74.99 for an annual subscription, or you can opt to pay $7.99 a month. Pre-orders or annual subscriptions were made available today, so during the weekend of Comic-Con, last weekend, Wednesday, Thursday, with a pre-order bonus of three free months as a special incentive for Comic-Con weekend. Fans who pre-order between Thursday, July 19th, and Sunday, July 22nd, will be entered in a sweepstakes to attend the U.S. premiere of Aquaman in December. Okay, so that's what I got for that. Let me see what else we got. We have just comic talk, thanks to death threats over Batman number 50. Tom King had to hire a bodyguard, dude. And number 50, the wedding of Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Selina Kyle, Catwoman, was not controversial in my eyes. I know why a lot of people got pissed off. And I didn't realize Homeboy was getting death threats, though. Like, this fucking sucks for anyone. And I went to one of his panels, and Tom King, I've interviewed him. He's in the fucking bumper, guys. Like, cool fucking cat. And you know what? Honestly, he said he grew up in fucking Tustin. And pre-interview, we have, like, pre-footage recordings of, like, us talking, like, oh, yeah, well, fuck. Oh, you know this? Oh, fuck, yeah. We're, like, talking like we've known each other. And it's fucking cool just shooting the shit with him. And this guy's just a humble fucking cat. Nice guy. Legit. Like, him and Mitch, I want to buy these guys a beer. Like, they seem down to earth. Scott Snyder too. Greg Capullo would love the same. Jim Lee, fuck. Same type of deal. And went to one of his panels. It was a Justice League panel or DC panel. And that he was so humble. He's like, a lot of things have happened since issue 50 dropped. And a lot of people were upset over what I did. And he's like, I just want to thank you guys, because you guys are the guys that give a shit and more of you came out and told me it's okay. And if you guys got to read Batman number 50. It's a beautiful fucking story. And it's just fucking dope and sick. It's worth fucking reading for everyone, even if you don't read fucking comics. Pick up some okay swag out there, too, as far as exclusive for myself. We got DC announces Batman Joker series by Mark Silvestri. He's going to write and draw it. And he's an old classic fucking artist, and he's got great fucking art. We have DC unveils first look details for Johns Fabok 3 Jokers. So Jeff Johns and Jason Fabok are... been working on this 3 Joker story. I know it sounds convoluted. It is comics. I don't want Joker to have an origin. They're kind of finally going to give him an origin story, I guess. Back to San Diego Comic-Con, Warner Brothers dominated Hall H with Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and more. Marvel didn't have anything to announce. Like, they're working on Homecoming, too. They're working on, you know, Captain Marvel. They're working on Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, that's not even out. They're working on Infinity War Part 2. So, you know what? Yeah, good for you, DC. And you, who's the fucking man? You're the fucking man. Anyways, that's all I got. I knew this was going to be long. Speaking of Tom King again, Tom King's dystopian TV drama States of America in development. So Tom King, the current writer of Batman, Tom King's dystopian drama States of America about a U.S. Occupied by a foreign power is in development by Topic Studios and Playground. States of America is said to combine the thrill and intrigue of speculative fiction with the modern fears and anxiety of the war on terror to explore a world where the old, small differences that divide this country have become the war cries of new nations. If he's getting opted to do shows, you know what? Fuck it, dope. Like, you guys, I love grounded shit. Like, he fine Sheriff of Babylon, and he's an ex-CIA guy. So the things he writes about are very grounded. The way he's writing Batman right now is very grounded. The I Am Bane is really grounded. Fine Vision that he wrote for Marvel, he completely humanizes the Vision. And it's beautiful, a synthetic android, and he grounds these fucking characters. What he's done to Batman, read Mr. Miracle right now, which he's doing with Mitch Gerards, and he works on Sheriff of Babylon with Mitch Gerards. Beautiful art with beautiful writing makes a more compelling story, and tragedy in different aspects is just beautiful to me. So I love the fuck out of it. Sorry if I went off on a tangent there, but I just looked at my time, and I knew this was going to happen. So comic reviews. I've been working so much, both jobs, getting prepped for San Diego Comic-Con, being back home Saturday night, just because I'm like, you know what, fuck it. I survived Comic-Con. I was there for Sunday. The last few hours of Comic-Con for me was buying shit for my friends and family, and actually – honestly, family is what I mean is coworkers. Like, I needed to pick up something for each of them because I see them more than anyone in my fucking life at the office because they're my fucking family. They're my fucking friends. Like, I talk to them. They have to deal with me. I have to deal with them. So, yeah, that's pretty much what last day was. But as far as comics, what I've read current, not a lot, honestly. Like, I mean, everything drops Wednesday. I was out there Wednesday. I recorded Wednesday, and everything was just work after that. So because of that, I'm going to go a little bit old school again. Last week, I reviewed Vader, and honestly, it was a cry out to myself, really, more than anything. I needed to prove to myself that, you know what, fuck it, yeah. It sucks being alone, but at the same time, you know what, fuck it. If you got to face your fucking fear type of deal. Hence why last week was it wasn't a preachy episode. It was a call to arms. It was a love letter to my friends and family and whoever listens to this. Like, you know what? There's something more I can be fucking doing. And you know what? It does fucking hurt. And even talking to these people, media outlet people, like, met some dope chick out there. And this, you know, the table I went to, and she's like, I'm used to getting 8 hours of sleep. I'm like, I'm sorry. What the fuck is this sleep you speak of? People telling me like, oh my gosh, I'm fucking so tired. Work kicked my ass and I gotta be here. And it's like, we don't want to sound like we're bitching, but like they're bitching. And it's like, oh, you just got one job? Shit. And you get sleep? Fuck me. Like, geez. And you gotta do this? Fuck me. That must suck for you. So Vader was me, like, just fucking end it. Like, I need to prove myself, and I need a fucking test. And that was the fucking test. Anyways, Sandman that I did review was an old school one, and that was just a love letter, like something like, you know what, this is beautiful to me, and I loved the fuck out of that review. This one, I've been talking to my friend Sonny, and I don't know what the fuck we were talking about, but it was like old school, and my mind just goes down the rabbit holes, and we start talking about, like, have you ever seen MTV shows, like the, you know, the years of Aeon Flux, of the years of fucking Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead, I'm like, you ever watched The Max? And we're just like MTVs. Well, when MTV used to play videos and when Road Rules first came out. I'm sorry. Fuck me. Yeah, I did it. Is the Road Rules. The Real World. Fuck me. That was a long time ago. So that first season when that kind of changed the aspect of reality television. And she's like, it sounds familiar. I'm like, dude, trip on this. And I just sent her a picture. She's like, holy fuck, I know this. And so deep diving that, and it's like, dude, so fucking good. It's a fucked up story, and I'm not even going to review it, but I'm just talking so much about it. I'm just going to give you the main story, dude. Wow. It's a fucked up story. There's a girl named Julie Winters, and she was – it's very graphic, guys. This is very – and they don't show anything, but it's just very graphic. This girl named Julie Winters is abducted and beaten and raped. At a young age, 18 is still a young age for anyone. Anyone at any age would suck. So now her dealing with the trauma, wanting to let go of the pain or to cope with it, she creates a world called the Outback. And this Outback is where she's strong, where she is at her best point, her strongest point, her best her she can fucking be. And this is the world she created for herself. Now, in the real world, and this is a very beautiful comic, because to jump back and forth, like, which world is the real world and which one is more palpable to you, like, which one do you relate to more, is a beautiful world to jump into. So I guess in our world, she runs over, she hits a bum in her car, and she puts like this, a bunch of trash on him, like, because she was so freaked out, like, she has been abducted by trying to help someone on the road before that did these terrible things to her. The way it's cloaked over him turns this character into someone, like, it gives him a synapse in some weird way where he's able to pull into her out, her outback. And I know it sounds terrible, but he's kind of sucked into her world now, her made up world. Now, this is a very psychological comic book, and it's not a bad fucking thing. Like, Mr. Gone is one of the main, he's the main fucking villain, and he's the one who, he's a serial fucking rapist straight up, and it's terrible to fucking say. He has this telepathic link to Julie Winters, and he has just crazy knowledge of and access to everyone's outbacks again. Sounds terrible to say it like that. But he's able to enter everyone's world. So kind of almost Freddy Krueger-ish, which is stupid to say. But that's what makes him gnarly as a fucking villain too. And then it just goes into the backstories of all these characters and how Julie kind of needs, in the real world, she needs some sort of protector. And in the Outback, she owns it. Like, she's a bad ass. She doesn't need any help. And the way this bum that got hit and got sucked into her world, he thinks he's a fucking hero. And he's got these giant claws. And it, again, the psychological aspect of it. Like, there are so many titles where the Max looks fucking odd because he looks odd for a reason. Like, I believe it's issue number 3 or number 4, cover number 4, where that's when they start dropping hints like, okay, about spirit animals. And maybe my spirit animal is a bunny. And maybe that's why I kind of see bunnies all the time, because she had another traumatic experience when she was a kid. She had a pet bunny, and that she saw her mom murder straight up. And to see death as a kid, sucks. So the trauma aspect and how psychologically it can fuck you up is a fucked up story to talk about, to touch in comics, especially at the time when it wasn't a cool thing to hit and that nobody knew about. Like, these comics back in the day was all snail mail. We didn't have internet. So the back portion was pretty much people like Letter Zone or whatever the fuck it was called. And people writing in letters like, I love the hell out of this comic. If anyone wants to reach out to me to chat more, here's my address and let's become fucking snail mail buddies is a thing back then. And to read all these, and like, I was so enthralled by the comic back then to the point where it's like professors are writing in, and it's like, I'm using this as a basis for my curriculum because you're hitting all the notes and tones of psychological issues and how it can affect you, and people making up worlds and people wanting to let go, not knowing how they still have this pain they're holding on to, but they don't know how to let go of it, is fucking beautiful. And reading this again, these issues came out like in 1993, mid-90s. So when the X-Men were hot, when Jim Lee, when I was enthralled, like in, sucked into comics in 93, 13-year-old fucking pudgy little Josiah's, reading these, it's like, this is beautiful and it's fucking dope. Did I ever snail mail anyone? No, I was a pussy back then. I had no self-confidence. But to get different vibes of like, this is a thing, kind of made me aware of how to treat people and how, you know, be there for fucking people. It's hard to do, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And it's a beautiful fucking story, and it's a psychological fucking trip. But it's beautiful. Like, Sam Keith writes and draws it. Like, he does have help from an artist. So it's a... Oh my gosh, who does he have? Written by Sam Keith and William Messner, Loebs. Artwork by Sam Keith, Jim Sinclair, and Dave Feiss. And colors by Rhonda Pattison. And if you guys were to read the comics now, you guys can find trade paperbacks of it. Read it from number one. The panel breakdowns are insanely gorgeous and beautiful. If you guys don't have the time, MTV had a fucking show that was almost comic book panel for panel, page for page spreads of like, this is a comic book breakdown perfectly on an animated fucking show. And it's, if you guys want to take the lazy way out, and I'm not even saying this is a lazy way out, watch the fucking shows. They're like 13 to 15 minute long episodes, and those dropped in about 95, 96, I want to say. And it was like MTV Presents type of deal. Find it. The Max. MTV Presents. Because they had MTV Presents The Head, MTV Presents Aeon Flux. But this one is worth checking out. It's a deep dive for me, another one, because I don't have anything to talk about. So I figured the best thing to do is talk about what you know about. And the fact that this has been popping up on the spectrum for me as far as talking about to one of my friends that I care about. Like, dude, you know, like, this reminds me of this situation in this. And it sounds stupid to say, but walking in now, recording, like, fuck, I have nothing to talk about. To look at the time now, like, you guys need to fucking check it out. You guys can get them for free probably on fucking YouTube. Just fucking check it out. Pull up The Max. M-A-X-X. The Max. He's a purple fucking buff motherfucker that with fucked up teeth that looks like a fucking rabbit somehow. And giant fucking claws. Yellow glove claws. And it's fucking funny. It's written very smart. Especially for the time, it's written very smart. And the action is dope. And everything is just – the voice acting in it is dope. I love Julie Winters in that. She just has that seductive voice for me. The voice of the Max is dope too. Like, it's just fucking dope. It's worth checking out. And I love the fuck out of it. So in saying that, guys, search it out. Find it. On top of that, please find the Comic Syndicate. Hit – iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you guys can find podcasts. Hit the Comic Syndicate podcast. Go to the comicsyndicate.podbean.com. The comicsyndicate.podbean.com /mobile is also a fun site to use. It's very simple, and just subscribe to any podcast site. Fuck every podcast site. And you know what? Please do me a huge favor. Find me at For the Villain on Twitter. Find me at comic_syndicate1 on Twitter. Find me at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I know it sounds I should know all these off the top of my head. Find us at the CS Bell on Twitter. Find at Deep Dives R on Instagram. So much bullshit, and this is not written down. Email me, hit me up, shoot me. I liked this. I hated this. This is not what I was expecting. More than anything, share the podcast with your friends that don't know this fucking world. And you know what? Just baby steps, dude. That's all it's about. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I totally appreciate it to everyone that has been chiming in. You guys are fucking dope. I'm going to hit shout out soon, I swear. And to my coworkers, fucking love you guys. Thanks for the support. Half support. Thanks for everything, guys. Love you guys. Peace out.